God does have a plan. God does have a purpose. And sometimes it seems far away. Sometimes it seems so alien to us that we have no idea how our little thing fits into it. But the word is so true. When we commit ourselves to the Lord and His way, God has a way of bringing it about. And that brings us to where we're going to be looking in our scriptures and thinking about just what is going on and how in Advent as we look, because this first candle that we light looks to the patriarchs. It looks to the Old Testament men and women who built faith and began the process of becoming the people of God and how that translates to us. So if you would, open your Bibles to the book of Genesis and chapter 15. We're going to be talking about a wonderful man who had no idea what it meant to follow God and what his life was truly going to look like. This man's name was Abraham. And actually, his name was Abram. And God changed his name. You see, God has a way of changing things, doesn't he? God has a way of getting in there and making things happen. And, oh, there's enough room, Miss Sally. This thing won't hold me. I'll be on the floor in just a few minutes. Remember, we change things up. I'm up on a platform. Well, this platform ain't going to keep me. And as we look at this word, we have to understand that Abraham, as he received God's promise and God called him, he had no idea what that really meant. And how many of us to have any idea what it really means to have God call us? Because what's he calling us to? He just calls us and we follow. We're like sheep, okay? And we need to remember God is a God of good gifts. God wants us to have an abundance. God wants us to know his fullness, his provision. And that's what's going on here. But I want us to think of Abraham and just what was going on in his life. Here's this man who has no children, he has no heirs, and God's called him to something and has given him a great promise. And this is what he says to Abraham from verse 1 through 5. It says, "The word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward." Now, let's look at that for just a moment. I am your shield, your very great reward. How strange a thing to tell a man. How many of us think about God being our reward? We think of him as our Savior. We think of him as our master, as the one who's created it all. But our reward? Well, we have to think about it that way. Because God gives us all things. He rewards us when we follow in obedience, doesn't he? He's not a selfish God. He's a very giving God. Everything he has, he gives to his children. So Abraham had to understand something. Because this flies in the face of all the other gods of the age. All the other gods of the age were selfish gods, and you had to give to them. But all of a sudden, here is this Elohim. Remember, they didn't know his name, Yahweh, as yet. But here is this Elohim, God Almighty, and he says, "I'm your great reward." Whoa, wait a minute. This is a man who's used to having to give and give and give to the gods, and now he meets the God, and he says, "I'm your great reward." What could that possibly mean in your life? Well, I hate to tell you this, but it means the same thing it meant to Abraham. There's far more coming than you could ever think, dream, or hope, if you're willing to allow him. Okay? Let's continue on. "But Abram said, 'Oh, sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus.' And Abraham said, 'You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir.' Then the word of the Lord came to him, 'This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir.' He took him outside and said, "Look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them." Then they said to him, "So shall your offspring be." Time for an object lesson. I'm going to finger these candies up so badly. That's okay. They were in my refrigerator. They're nice and cold. Abraham says, "I want a son." God says, "I'll make you a nation. I'll make kings of kings come from you." Abraham had a little goal. God says, "Give me that, commit it to me, and I'll make you a nations of peoples." It's the same thing God says to us. God says, "Commit your life to me, and I'll give you life abundantly. Give me your little stuff." And here, let's think about it. What do we have to offer God? Everything we have is His anyway, isn't it, Miss Marion? You've taught us that in our finances. You know, how did we give God a gift? It already belongs to Him. We're just giving back unto Him what is already His. For heaven's sakes, we're His. But God says, if you give it to me, I'm not going to give back an equal amount of what you gave me. I'm going to give you back the same measure from myself that you gave. So if we give God 10% of ourselves and we only get 10% of God, we're still getting a better deal, aren't we? You know, I could be Monty Hall up here and play "Let's Make a Deal," and everybody'd be a winner. There'd be no zonks. Okay? For those of you who are too young, you just don't know what that means. Search it on the internet. The kids are like, "What are zonks, Daddy?" But the reality is, God says, "Give unto me your whole heart." What does He say? When you search for me, I mean, Bobby had no idea. He was talking about it today, and it's like, man, this is so cool. God just confirms His word to me in so many ways. "When you search for me with all your heart, I will be found by you," declares the Lord. It's one of my favorite scriptures, Jeremiah 29:11. It's only part of it, okay? But the reality is, not only will we be found by Him, but when we search Him with all our heart, God gives us all His heart back. All His heart. The one who created the moon and the sun and the stars and everything on our earth. I mean, the very melodies that we sang today, okay, ring in His being on a constant basis. Can you imagine the amount of bliss, joy, love, peace, hope, prosperity that are in God? I can't. He spoke one word and everything we know was created. He spoke Jesus, and it happened. I want you to think about that. He has enough power in one word to create everything that we know and everything that we don't know, because there's a whole lot more that we don't know than we do know. Amen? Amen. And God said to Abraham, "I'm going to give you this promise. As much as the stars in the sky cannot be counted, so too will be your heirs." Think about that. Here's a man who wanted one child. And yet today, he's still not received the fullness of that promise. You do understand that, right? Look in your Bibles to Galatians, in the 3rd chapter. Am I ringing out there? I'm ringing in my ears. A little bit. I got a ring coming off, guys. Galatians in the 3rd chapter. And it may be because I'm underneath here that we're picking up a little bit of stuff. And we're going to have to work some of this stuff out. And if it doesn't work down here, well, then we'll have to move it back. but I'm hoping that we can get things worked out. Galatians in the third chapter, verses 7 through 18. Beginning in the seventh verse. This is what we have to understand. Abraham, when God was speaking to him, and this is what I was talking about to the children earlier, we have a perception of what we think God's saying to us, right? But we have to remember that God's thoughts are not our thoughts. God's ways are not our ways. And God told Abraham that he was going to give him a son, and then, you know, as many as the stars in the sky, as if you could count them, you know, that's how many heirs you're going to have. So he was thinking his bloodline, right? He was thinking the people from his loins, his genetics passed down through the generations. But God wasn't thinking that. You see, God thinks outside the box. God is not bound as we are by our physical world. God created the physical world. So therefore, the confines of the world fall to him. He doesn't fall to them. And look what God says from verse 7 through verse 18. He says, "Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announced the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you." Now that was said at a later date to Abraham. "So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. All who rely on observing the law are under a curse, for it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law.' Clearly, no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, the man who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree.' He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit." You see, Abraham became our father because when God spoke to him and said, "See the stars, as if you could count them, that's how many relatives you're going to have. That's how many kids you're going to have." And Abraham, in his spirit, said, "Oh, I receive that, I believe that, I receive that, I believe that." And God said, "That's faith. You've heard my word. You're never going to see it, but you believe it. Therefore, you are a righteous man, and you receive the full promise." Abraham shot for one. Abraham got one. But in the long run, Abraham got all of us in the offshoot. Do you understand it now? Don't you love Reese's peanut butter cups? Such a good, good illustration. They keep your attention. No matter where I move it, your eyes follow. But God uses those very realities to get into our lives, that no matter what we might think, if we trust God, He makes it work to His benefit, and our benefit is even greater. That's why I showed the kids that medium-sized Reese's. That may be all we receive in our lifetime, okay? But there is more yet to come, because we know it doesn't end in this lifetime. Amen? There is an eternity out there for us in Christ Jesus. Abraham didn't quite understand that. I mean, you know, we're talking people of the beginning of faith, and a lot of this stuff wasn't revealed yet. They had to work this all out. God was giving revelation little by little, because it's called progressive revelation, because to give it all at one time, they'd have never understood it. And it would have confused them so horribly. But as it was progressively revealed over time unto the fullness of the revelation, who is Jesus Christ, now we can see. Now I need to ask you a question. Though we see, do we understand it all? No, we don't. Because we can't see into eternity, can we? But Abraham believed, and it's the same way here. As he believed, that light began to burn. And that hope began to prosper. It began to grow. And it changed a people. And they became God's people, committed to Him, loving Him. And that change is what makes the difference. That's why, that's one of the reasons why our mission statement is what? Transforming lives to the heart of Christ. Because it's about that change. Believing by faith that God is who He says who He is, and that He'll do what He says He will do. That the little that we bring to Him, God multiplies by Himself. Not by us, but by Himself. And He brings us the greater. Now I want you to think about this. That promise was made to Abraham how long ago? Does anybody know? Anybody want to take a guess? 3,800 years ago, that promise was made to Abraham. And it still hasn't been brought to its fullness. Think about that. He's up there in heaven right now, and he sees all his kids coming in. And it just keeps getting bigger and bigger every day. And bigger and bigger every day. And he's up there thinking, Lord, I only wanted one. And God says, you got one who got you all the rest. Because that's all it took was to believe what I said. And that one act made you heir to it all. And from that came the hope of Christ. Where would we be if Abraham wouldn't have believed? Isn't it amazing? One life makes a difference. Did you just hear me say that? Because I'm talking to you. God is talking to you. God is going to have His way. But one life makes a difference. And right now, that life is your life. You make all the difference in God's economy. Not one individual can be taken away. Jesus says, no one that you have given me can be snatched from my hand. Every one of us is that important. Every moment of our lives is that important. That God has based other people's lives off of us. If Abraham wouldn't have believed, where would we be? Would we have a Messiah? It would definitely be different, wouldn't it? We have no idea where we'd be. But praise God that one man said, yes, Lord, yes. And everything changed. How is your life going to be changed? How is your saying yes to the light of the world going to change you and bring that reality to hope and place? Abraham wasn't the only one. God made promises to many, and I need to watch my time. But in Chronicles, turn to 1 Chronicles 17, verses 9 through 14. 1 Chronicles. You know, this is the book that everybody loves because it's got all the genealogies in it. We all love reading them, right? Chapter 17. 1 Chronicles, chapter 17. You know, I've had a lot of people say to me, oh, why in the world did the Lord put that in there? Well, it's very important why that's in there. It's in there so we understand how God brought this all about. That we understand that God ties it all together. That it is the lives that are touching each other that build this thing up. This is very important stuff. David here is being talked to, and this is 1 Chronicles 17, looking at verse 9 through 14. Beginning in verse 9. This is the promise that he made to David. He says, and I will provide a place for my people Israel and will plant them so that they can have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed. Wicked people will not oppress them anymore as they did in the beginning and have done ever since the time of the appointed leaders over my people Israel. I will also subdue all your enemies. I declare to you that the Lord will build a house for you. When your days are over and you go to be with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, one of your own sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for me, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be his father and he will be my son. I will never take my love away from him as I took it away from your predecessor. Of course, there he's talking about Saul and how Saul fell from grace because Saul disobeyed God. And now David was put in his place. And he's promising David, if you live with me, if you understand my words and do what I tell you and love me with all your heart, I'm going to have one come from you who will rule in my house forever. He will establish my house. Now, it's amazing because here's David and he's looking at who? Solomon. David's looking at Solomon. And God says, no, 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 my friend. I'm looking at Jesus the Christ. He is going to be your son, for he'll come from your line, but he will reconcile all people unto you. You see, when we look at this word, we realize, and this is the old looking here. Turn to Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. And this is, you know, this is Advent. These are the scriptures that we use in Advent. And it's so important to understand that they are important to us. God is speaking to us through these things. And it's knowing that God foresaw these things, that these men who gave them their little bit, God increased it to be so much more that it became the hope of us all. From verse 6, he says, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. One man believing, one man receiving, blessed us all. Because that's how hope works. It gets passed on and passed on and passed on. And we all get added to it. We don't have our own little pieces. We are all part of it. And that one little hope turns into the great kingdom of God and his hope and his glory and his majesty and his plan and his purpose. I want you to imagine for a minute what David was thinking. David was thinking a worldly kingdom. God was thinking an eternal kingdom. David was thinking of Solomon, his son. God was thinking of Christ, his son. David was thinking of a king of many. God was thinking king of all. We need to turn our eyes off of ourselves and this little bit and remember that God has something far greater, far grander. But we have to trust him to it. And the whole time, Dan's scripture just kept running through my head. The whole time I'm studying this out, commit thy way unto the Lord and trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And I'm thinking, wow, Lord, not only what I think, but so much more. Because that's the God that we serve. That's the God that loves us. The God that gave us a hope and a future. Because without the more, there would be no hope and a future because it would be up to us. But in Christ Jesus, the Messiah who came and who is to come, there is a hope. The Hebrews didn't understand the coming of the Messiah back at the beginning. They had no idea. They really didn't. Because this stuff was all new to them. They were just walking through it. It's kind of like us as a church right now. Things are new. We don't understand it. This is changing. That's going to change. And we're going to grow. And it can be an awkward place, can it? But it can also be a place of wonder. Can also be a place of meeting God and understanding that I don't have to be in control. I just simply need to be there. Because when I'm there, God shows up. No, God's already there. He just wants you to show up. All right? Don't get the order mixed up. Don't ask God to bless our mess. Ask God to get us in his stuff. Amen. And when we do, we find the difference between the two. Where do you want to be? Miss Dee Dee's still pointing at the big one. And that's the reality. God takes our tiny idea of a worldly king and kingdom, and he turns it into an eternal understanding. And that's my hope for our Christmas. Because there's a coming Christmas. And folks, what does God promise us? You know, I think this is neat. We're going to be his bride, right? God says we're going to rule and reign with him in heaven. That he is going to pour out upon us far more than we could ever hope or dream. You know, when I was going through confirmation with the young adults, because I've taught them now that they are no longer children in God's eyes, so they need to start acting like adults. I taught them that we have no idea what God has in store for us. I asked them, what's your wildest dream? What would you like to do? What is the one thing that you would, just what a wildest dream? And they gave me these lame ideas. You know, I want to drive a race car. And I said, no, you know what I want to do? I want to run my fingers through the rings of Saturn. I want to dance on the moons of Jupiter. And they looked at me and said, can you really do that? I said, the scripture says, no mind can conceive what is in store for us in Christ Jesus. So if I can conceive those things, even greater things are out there. And that's what I'm talking about. It's not over on this earth. Jesus came. He's coming again. The millennium's going to be set up and then eternity's going to roll in. We think that Big Reese's is the biggest one we've ever seen. I can't wait to see the one God makes. Because there's a reality coming. This is all just a show for us to get us prepared. Brothers and sisters, do you realize Jesus Christ has said that as the Father and I are one, so too will you be? Do you know what that means? You and I will be one with God. Everything that he does, everything that he's capable of, we will know. Will not be God. Please don't get heady. But we will know him in that same manner. We will become part of the Trinity. I don't know how that works. I don't know what it looks like. But God said it. I believe it. It's that simple. I can't wait to know the full heart of the Creator who has loved me to life. I can barely stand the emotion of thinking about that. I need a different body to be able to understand that, because I wouldn't be able to hold it in me. It would literally kill me because I know my sin. But I long for that day when it is gone completely, totally. And I'm not stuck in this body of sin. And I can see the full hope of God. Because I want you to think about this. In that day, you do realize we will be able to look full in God's face and live. What a day. From this little light to the light of glory. Are you seeing it now? From this little Reese's to this big one, there's no comparison. There's a light of glory coming, and I pray you know his name. For he is, was, and is yet to come. Let us pray. Oh, gracious Father, we do thank you. because there are far bigger and better and greater things coming than we could ever hope or dream. But Lord, that means we have to commit our way unto you, to be found in you, to trust in you. And those words are so, so cutting, Lord, because they mean death to self and submission to you. So, Father, teach us what that means, that we can truly give it to you and find the glory and the grace of your love. Because, Lord, it's not all going to happen on this side of the earth, on this side of the grave. The majority of it's going to be on the other side. And, Lord, what a day that'll be. And, Lord, that's our hope, just as it was Jesus' hope. Because, Lord Jesus, you saw the cross, but you knew what was beyond it. And may we remember that is to be our hope too, not in this life, but in the one to come. Yes, Lord, we will experience goodness here, but we'll also experience those things that are designed to change us, to transform us into the men and women of Christ that you would want us to be. Oh, gracious Lord, we give ourselves to you in this coming Advent as we await our Christmas, your second coming, that you would set the world free and that sin would be no more. And until that day, Lord, may we be beacons of your light, shining it forth, that the world may know the only hope that is true, the only hope that is the way, the life, and the truth, Jesus the Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.